In the book of Ruth, chapter 1, I'm going to read. From verse 6 to the end of the chapter, that we can get that before us. Speaking of Naomi, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited the people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as he hath dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, they lifted up their voice and wept. They said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto the people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. They lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her and said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city moved about them, and they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. There's always what we call the milk of the word, the devotional aspect of the word, the interpretation of the word. Scripture has but one interpretation. Contrary to popular opinion, which says that every man is entitled to his own interpretation. Well, such is not true. There's but one interpretation. And since this book was written by the Holy Spirit of God, he and he alone can interpret the book. There may be many applications of these scriptures, But there's just one interpretation. On the other hand, we have the historical aspect, and then we have the dispensational or the prophetic aspect. I want us to look at the historical aspect of this first, and then the prophetic or the dispensational aspect. Here we have Elimelech, Naomi, their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, living in the land of Judah, Bethlehem, in the land of God, the land where God dwelt, so to speak, and where the blessings of God were poured out. But here was a family whose trust and faith in God weakened. And when famine struck the land, they fled to the land of Moab. They fled to a land, the children of which the Israelites were forbidden, their sons and daughters, to marry or intermarry. They fled to a land of people forbidden for 10 generations to enter the temple of the Lord. They fled to a land symbolic of the world, symbolic of degeneracy, corruption, crime, sordid filth. That astonished the people of Moab when Elimelech showed up and they asked him his name. He said, God is my king. And here he was in the land of anti-God, the land of anti-good, anti-everything holy and righteous. They marveled that one who had God for his king would come to them. Circumstances are trying. And oftentimes we look at God through our circumstances and do not reckon God able to cope with our trials and with our testings. If once we can begin to look at our circumstances through the eyes of God, we have no trouble because our God is able. All things are possible to God and to those who believe in God. In the land of Moab, Naomi's husband Elimelech dies. Her two sons marry Moabitish girls, contrary to the expressed and written commandments of God. And in time they die. One day, news comes in to Moab. This was before the telephone or the telegraph. Before the satellite, before television, but news traveled nonetheless. And one day, news came to the ears of Naomi that in Bethlehem, the house of bread, there was bread once again. That the Lord had visited the land of Judah and had blessed the land. There was food, and food aplenty. Naomi, bereft of her husband and of her two sons, all that she had in this world, so to speak, has a longing for home. And she decides to go home. Be it ever so humble, there's no place like home. Home, sweet home. I don't know about all the languages, But the incident told concerning Dwight L. Moody returning from some missions and meetings abroad, as they were nearing New York Harbor, a band was playing various and sundry songs, and he asked one of them who could speak the language. The band was composed of Italians, and he asked one of their number who spoke English and Italian to have them play Home Sweet Home. And they told him they didn't know the song. Not only that, but told him there was no word in the Italian language for home. Home. That's a great word, home. It's a foundation of society. It's a foundation of civilization. And many Christians all over the world are attacking and fighting communism when possibly it might do better if they'd shore up their own defenses. Karl Marx and his manifesto let it be known that modern civilization could be destroyed by destroying the home. And the Bolsheviks determined, and in the four platforms, they were going to purpose in gaining control of the world. They were going to destroy the home. Destroy the home. Of course, they recognized the fact that in order to do that, they had to do away with the Word of God. To do away with the Word of God, they had to do away with God. And they came out with a cliche that has been popular for several decades, that religion is the opiate of the people. Religion is something that tranquilizes the people and puts them to sleep. And as wild animals can be shot with a tranquilizer gun and then picked up and caged and removed to other parts of the country, so Christians can be tranquilized sometimes, or people tranquilized by religion, and then you do anything in the world with them, so said the Bolsheviks of the Marxian Revolution. And they declared there was no God, and that the Bible is not the Word of God. And it's amazing what wide currency those heresies have gained throughout the world. A Bible-believing individual is a rarity today. Oh, I believe part of it, but not all of it. Well, Naomi got to thinking about home, and she wanted to go home. I had a cousin that was with the FBI for a number of years, and he told about how he himself personally had been dispatched several cases, and on two or three occasions, his duty was to get into a home next door or across the street from the home of the criminal. And they watched that home day and night, because sooner or later, the criminal would contact the people of his home. They come back home. They'll do it. They'll do it. And home. Going home. Going home. Abraham leaving Egypt started home. Isaac leaving the land of Gerar started home. Back to Bethel. I must go. And so Naomi goes home. Well, she has these two daughters-in-law. Both of them Moabites. Ready and ever-present reminders that her sons forsook the law of God, the Word of God, and God Himself, and married Moabites. Ever-present reminders of the fact that they had defaulted and left the land of God and come into the land of Moab. She says to the girls as they started home with her, according to the law of Levi, If a husband died, his brother was to marry the widow, the nearest of kin. Raise up children, that is, the first child born to that union would be reckoned to be the child of the deceased brother. And so these girls may have thought that by staying with Naomi, there would be other brothers. But Naomi quickly puts their hopes out of their mind. I'm not married. I'm beyond the years of procreation. And even if I was married and had a child today, you couldn't wait for him to attain his manhood and marry him. Now go back to your own people and back to your own gods. Now back to your own people doesn't sound so bad, but when she said, go back to your gods, here was a believer in the one true and living God telling these pagan worshippers, go back to your pagan gods. After a while, Orpah was persuaded to go, but Ruth could not be persuaded. And Ruth gave expression to words which have been quoted time and again, again and again. When I used to be pastor of First Baptist Church in the small county seat towns, I'd always be invited to act as a judge for the high school oratorical and elocution contest. And someone or many of them always had this passage about Ruth, and the others gave that about Paul's great discourse on his hometown. I'm a citizen of no mean city. These boys would wax eloquent, but this was one. And they would really wax eloquent when they would say, here, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. We notice one thing there which possibly differentiated between the two girls, Naomi and Ruth. Ruth knows the God of Judah. Ruth knows the God of Naomi. Your God is my God! Orpah had no such conviction or belief, and she returned to her pagan gods. But Ruth was going with Naomi. It's also interesting to note here that she says, where thou lodgest, I will lodge, rather than use the word dwell. A lodger is one who's just here for the night, and he goes on. Pilgrims lodge, tourists dwell. Said, now I'll lodge where you lodge. I'll go where you go. But she wasn't thinking about settling down in any particular place, a pilgrim. And we too, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, are pilgrims. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. We're ambassadors. Our home is far away, over yonder on the other side. And when Naomi saw she could not persuade Ruth to stay, then she permitted her to go on with her. A woman of Judah and a Moabite. Forbidden to fellowship or move about together, but the grace of God has overcome that. And the grace of God has accomplished that which the law could not, and which the law had forbidden. So they go to Bethlehem. No record of how long it took. Supposition is, perhaps, they walked, most of the people walked, found lodging in the house of kindly disposed individuals as they went along the road. But they come to Bethlehem. Word evidently has gone out. Two women are coming. They said all Bethlehem gathered about them. Interesting thing about that would be found in the fact that this was the time of the barley harvest, and the men would be in the field. So this great gathering that went out was composed mostly of women and the children. And they've gone out to see this sight of these two women. Some of them recognize Naomi. She hadn't been gone but 10 years. And they recognize Naomi, and they ask this question in verse 19. Is this Naomi? When she left, she was in affluent, dignified, poised, genteel, cultured, well-groomed. Now she comes back looking more like a beggar. None of this world's goods. Her husband and her sons gone, and a Moabite daughter-in-law with her. Can this be Naomi? Have you ever known or seen one who walked in the full flush of their love for the Lord? Were active in his service. Something came along, diverted their attention, and they drifted and drifted and drifted. You encounter them some 10, 15, 20 years after they have forsaken and drifted away from the Lord. Can that be Naomi? Are you so-and-so? Naomi meant pleasant, blessed. She said, don't call me pleasant or blessed. Call me bitter. The Lord hath dealt bitterly with me. She is nearly all mankind. Finds it convenient to blame the Lord for her drifting away from God and becoming associated with the Moabites. How oft do we accuse the Lord? How inspiring the words of Job, or words pertaining to Job, wherein, having undergone and experienced all of the tests and the heartaches that came to him, the loss of his herds and his flocks and possessions, the loss of all of his children, his wife turning against him, his friends turning against him. And the Lord bears this testimony to Job. In all of that, Job charged not God foolishly. In all of that, Job never said, why has this happened to me? Maybe you've used those words one day. I want you to analyze those words. Now, what have I done that this should happen to me? You're accusing the Lord of treating you unjust. You're accusing him of being unfair. Now, I haven't done anything to deserve this, and look what he's done. One day we lived on the mountain. One of our girls was way down the counter, the kitchen, with some dishes or something. She knocked off a cup and broke it. Her mother and I were clear at the other end of the room at the table, and she said, now look what you made me do. Well, that's the way we do the Lord. Now, why'd you do that? What have I done to deserve this? In all of Job's trials, he never said that once. Now, what have I done that this should happen to me? Naomi says, the Lord's wronged me. I didn't deserve that which the Lord put out upon me. He has dealt bitterly with me. He has dealt bitterly with me. Look at it up here, that 20th verse. She said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. Call me that which means bitter. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full. And the Lord took everything away from me. And I've come home empty. Why then call you me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? How oft do we blame the Lord for our own foolishness? How oft we suffer for our own stubbornness and lay it on the Lord. I went out full. I want you to notice one thing here, 22. So Naomi returned. She's back home. Now I'm going to show you something here, if you have eyes to see. Naomi, in the will of the Lord, and where the blessings of the Lord fell, I've tried through the years to remind people, one of the blessings of attending church regularly is that you're where the Lord is going to be, and you're where He's going to pour out some blessings. And the place to get them is where the Lord is and where He's pouring out His blessings. It's that. In Moab, Naomi heard there was bread in Judah. She had to go back to Judah. And she goes back to Judah. Naomi returned. Well, you notice she returned. I've had some people who've been disturbed about backsliders, thinking that if a Christian gets involved in sin and drifts away from the Lord, then he's lost, he can come back, but they're not. I've seen them drift far and wide, but the Christians come back. They can stand that just so long. Now, look at Naomi. In the land of Judah, she had a husband. She had two sons. They had their home. They had their lands. They had everything. And now she's back in Judah without a husband, without her sons, without a home, without her land. Now look what you have. And look what I have in the Lord today. Him and all of the blessings. Now, we can get out and go, figuratively speaking, into the land of Moab and lose all we have. Except the eternal life which we have by grace. Lose everything except that. We're coming back to where we were. Why not stay where you are and maintain the blessings of the Lord instead of drifting out and losing all of them and having to come back empty-handed? Now, that's the lesson that one would call the historical aspect of it, the milk of the word. But as I told you in the beginning on last Wednesday evening, Naomi is typical of the nation of Israel, and Ruth is typical of the church, the bride of Christ. We were as the Moabites, but by the grace of God we've come in. Now, let's look at the prophetic aspect of this. Let's look at the nation of Israel typified in Naomi. Here is Naomi in the land of Judah with every worldly necessity for their enjoyment and even luxurious living. Naomi is married. Israel is spoken of as the wife of God. And in a certain sense, Elimelech there, symbolic of God Almighty, and Naomi of the nation of Israel. Naomi went out from the Lord. Elimelech dying shows her separated from the Lord. But it was lack of faith that sent Naomi away from home. Lack of faith sent the Jews away from God. God called the nation of Israel into existence for three specific reasons. Number one, that through them would come the Messiah. The line of the tribe of Judah, the seed of Abraham and of David. Number two, they'd be the channel through which the word and the will and the statutes and the law of God would be revealed. Every author, humanly speaking, a Jew. Number three, they were to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. All right. Naomi left the land of Judah in the year 70 A.D. when Titus and his Roman legions came down against Rome, conquered Rome, razed the city, slew over 1 million Jews in one day. So much blood shed that day that Josephus in his Antiquities of the Jews tells us that a wall of blood flowing down to the southern part of the city, which was the lowest part, that wall of blood extinguished houses that were on fire. The Jews that were not killed, the Jews that escaped, fled to the four points of the compass. Many of them wound up in Africa, many of them in Chinese. Today, in the land of Israel, there are black Jews. Jews, the result of an intermarriage between Jews and natives of Africa. The Jews fleeing into Africa. The women and the girls couldn't stand the hardship. They died, and the men married the natives. And the Jewish strain is dominant over all other strains. Same thing happened in China. Many of them ended up in China. The women and girls died. They married Chinese, the men did, and they're Chinese Jews in Israel today, as they are African Jews. All right, Naomi and her sons intermarrying in the land in which they went, the children of Israel, done the same in some instances. But where those circumstances did not prevail, they remained true to the commandment of God concerning marriage and intermarriage. Away from God, they were in the land of the pagans and other gods. Turn to Hosea for just a minute to chapter 3. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Very short chapter, 5 verses, but in these short 5 verses, we have the whole history of the nation of Israel. We've got the past history, we've got the present history, and we've got the future history of the nation of Israel. The present history is to be found in the 4th verse. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king. Now just consider how long it's been since the children of Israel had a king. Without a prince. Without a sacrifice. No temple, no priesthood, no sacrifices. Temple destroyed in 70 A.D. Priesthood went out with that. Without an image, without an ephod, without a teraphim. Not even worshiping idols. They have nothing. There's a present condition of Israel and has been since 70 A.D. until today. That one verse. Of course, the future history of Israel is in the 5th verse. Afterward shall the children of Israel return. Naomi returned, and the children of Israel shall return. They'll seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and His goodness in the latter days. Now, that's the history of the children of Israel. They were put out of the land because they failed to be Jehovah's Witnesses. You saw the failure of Israel typified in Naomi when she told Orpah to go back to her people and to your God. Now just go back to your God, your people, your paganism. We're not interested in reaching you for the Lord. The nation of Israel, the most missionary-minded people on the face of the earth, until they turned from the Lord and then were scattered abroad. Well, one day, during the tribulation, we read in Revelation chapter 7 that 144,000 Jewish evangelists scattered over the whole face of the earth, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And there'll be such a vast multitude believe that man cannot number them. Israel ceased to be a nation in 70 A.D. But on May the 16th, 1948, Israel became a nation again. And she's to be reckoned among the nations of the world. The world was jarred the other night by the prowess of Israel when they sent 3 airplane loads of soldiers down to Uganda and rescued. When will the world learn that the Jew is the apple of God's eye? When will they learn that God has said, no weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper? When will the world learn that God has said, I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse him that curseth thee? Disobedient children are the children of Israel, but they're children of God nonetheless. Every lover of Israel rejoiced at that which took place. They became a nation again. One day Israel is going to awaken to her condition. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Once again, we turn there. You'll know this by memory before long. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Now, what I'm starting to read took place in Naomi's life when she heard there was bread in Judah. It shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I've set before thee. Naomi, without a husband, without her sons, without anything else, remembered that once it was better with her when she was in fellowship with the Lord. One day Israel is going to remember that it was better with her one day when she was right with the Lord. Well, you're going to call all these things to mind which I've set before thee among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. You remember the story of Jonah, a Jew commanded by God to carry the gospel to a pagan Gentile, Nineveh. Picture of the nation of Israel, commanded by God to carry the message of the one true and living God to all the nations of the world. Jonah fled and he wasn't going to do it. The Jews decided they wouldn't do it. God had Jonah cast into the sea, which symbolized the Gentile nations of the world. God scattered the Jews among all the nations of the world. Here we have Naomi. They're among the Moabites. The Jews, scattered where they are, going to remember all these things one day. God's going to put it in their heart. They're going to remember it. And then, thou shalt return unto the Lord thy God. Naomi said, I'm going home. She's going to return to the land of her God. The nation of Israel one day will say, I'm going home. Thou shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, and thy children with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity, have compassion upon thee, will return and gather thee from all the nations of the world. One of these days, Naomi, God's going to make known to you that there's bread in Bethlehem, Judah, and he's going to get you and he's going to bring you back to the land. One day he's going to bring Israel back in belief. They've gone back in unbelief. And according to Isaiah chapter 10, those who've gone back in belief, unbelief, have returned to be eaten. And the only prospect for those that are in the land is to be destroyed. But we read on about this. I've always been interested in the fourth verse. If any of thine be driven out to the uttermost parts of the heaven... Oftentimes I'm asked if I believe there's life on the other planets. I say, no, I don't believe, but I do know this, that if any life ever gets on the other planets, God says he's going to bring them back. I know that, so that's what he says here. Well, Naomi remembered. She remembered there in Moab, a land that meant death. Corruption, sin, filth, graves, heartaches. The Jew one day out in the world where it means death, graves. Look under the administration of Hitler. One third of the Jewish population exterminated. One third. The Word of God tells us that there's a day coming when two-thirds of the Jewish population will be exterminated, but God will preserve one-third and bring them through to enter the land in belief. Naomi returned home, and the people there said, is this Naomi? One day the children of Israel will return home. The blessings of the Lord upon them. And the people round about will say, is this Israel? And they'll be like Naomi, call me not blessed, call me bitter, for the Lord hath dealt bitterly with us. But the blessings of the Lord will be poured out upon them. Coming to the second chapter, we come into the study of the Moabite becoming a bride. And we'll learn a little bit about the church, the bride of Christ. And now, Father, dismiss us with thy loving care and tender mercies. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.